All right. Sounds like you're really enjoying getting to know each other. I'm going to start us off with a prayer. Would you join me in praying? Lord, here we are. Just look at who you've brought to hear from you, Lord. I'm so thankful. I love what my leader just said at the table, that we are here by design. Lord, I pray that our hearts are ready to hear from you today. Would you turn our hearts to listen to what you have to say and invite us into a deeper relationship with you? Holy Spirit, you be the teacher and you guide my words. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am really excited to be here today, and I am confident that the Lord has something personal for each of us that are here. He's faithful. He's going to honor your desire to know more about the gift of prayer and to know him better through studying his word. We're here to study his word, but also to do life together. Before I start the conversation about prayer, I'm going to introduce myself to you. And I've just been praying that as you're with your groups, that you become known to each other. So I'm going to let you have a little glimpse into my life so you know me better. And I'm going to start by describing some family celebrations that my family had this summer. So my dad had a really big birthday. He turned 90 in July, and I have a picture of him close to his birthday. There he is. He lives in a veteran's home, a really beautiful veteran's home where God's just got his hand on his care. He's very well cared for there. He's had declining health, and he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's about a year ago. But in spite of that, he's doing great. He's thriving. God's hand is on him. So an even bigger deal to him than his 90th birthday is the fact that he's in a choir there at the veterans home, and he's got his choir shirt on in that picture, and they were chosen to sing the national anthem at a Twins baseball game. It's all he talked about for months, so I got to go and be there with my sister and share in that, and it was really fun. And I have to tell you, I was raised in a household of faith. What a gift to us. My parents always encouraged us in our faith walk, and just a few months ago, even as the dementia is becoming more prominent, he said to me, "If the good Lord is helping you, what more do you need?" And I said, "What a great reminder that God is always enough for me, and he's always enough for my dad. He's taking care of my dad in this season of his life." Well, we had another family celebration got added to our family. I have another picture. My niece had a baby boy in July also. That's Finn. His older brother, Sawyer, is 3 years old. He's thrilled to be an older brother. I guess they had to buy, he's in Texas, so I haven't met him yet. His older brother had to have a special chair that's portable so that he can always be near his little brother. And this is Sadie, the dog. That's, Finn is considered her pup. You can see that she goes wherever he is, 24/7. So my family loves animals too. Thank you, Timmy. You can take the picture down. So I just talked about some of the relationships that are really important to me, and I'm going to give you like a rundown of some fun facts about me to clear up any mystery that might still be there. I am single, not married. I'm a sister and an aunt, not a mom. I come from a big, loud, extended family, not a quiet, demure one. I love being outdoors, especially by water, rather than I kind of feel trapped inside sometimes. I love warm weather versus cold weather. Kind of funny, I'm from Minnesota, but I love warm weather. I love to go to farmer's market versus the big box store. I prefer Gap over Levi's, and if you want to know the story behind that, you can ask me about it. I love cake versus ice cream. I love Bible study and books versus apps and devices. I love emojis versus words. If you've ever gotten a text from me, you've gotten at least one emoji. But I have to admit, I love words too, or I couldn't do what I'm doing. I love worship music versus quiet or having the TV on in the background. I live far from home versus right around the corner from my family. And I've loved the Lord since I was about school age. So if you're a mom or a grandma or an aunt or someone that teaches kids about Jesus, press on. I am one of those kids who ate it up from a very early age. Well, enough about me. Let's start our conversation on prayer. And my aim today is that you will think a little differently about your relationship with the Lord and that you'll start to think differently about prayer. And I want you to know that whatever I'm saying, and I think all of our teachers would agree with me, this is teaching me too as we study this. So the two divisions that I'll cover are, first, define the relationship, or DTR, and secondly, an introduction to what prayer is and what it's not. So think about a relationship that's important to you. Maybe something that you would call the most important relationship of your life. Maybe you're thinking of a parent or a grandparent. Maybe you're thinking about your kids, a sibling that you're really close to. Maybe you're thinking of a teacher or a mentor or a coach, someone that took you into their heart and into their life when you really needed them. And that's a relationship that's really important to you. Well, how about your significant other? Did any of you think of your husband when I said that? Has there been someone that made your heart just turn a flip when he walked into the room? And you turned all your attention and your heart toward that person? I want us to think about relationships today and about some of the different stages that they go through. I'm going to have a little bit of fun. I hope that you track with me on this. I'm going to use the romantic husband relationship in my analogy, and I'm basing this all on my own experience and my observations. So I'm even going to talk about some of the pitfalls in relationships. So let's get started. The first stage is being acquainted. That's when you just know of someone. You know his name, maybe you're in a class, you work with them, see them around. You don't know anything about them, and it's not even on your radar to get to know that person. I'm acquainted with who that is. I don't know what they're about, but I know of that person. Next, there's the attention phase. This is moving on to, he's got my attention. I want to know more. This guy stands out from all the others, and I'm super curious. I want to make sure that my path crosses with his and I get to know him more. Can I get that seat next to him on the train or in class? Can I finagle getting on that same project as him at work? How can I get my curiosity filled so that I can get to know him? Maybe I can get my friend or my coworker to introduce me. Have you ever had these thoughts about a guy or observed someone with these thoughts about a man? He's got my attention, but how do I get to him to pay attention to me too, to see me in the crowd and notice me? Then there's the actively engaged or even absorbed phase. This is, I'm planning on and counting on time with him. I look forward to seeing him. I want to learn everything I can about him. When we're together, we don't run out of anything to talk about. I love sharing my story and hearing his story. It's exciting and it's energizing, and I'm really focused on actively investing in that relationship. I'm absorbed. Then there's the smitten phase. This is the downright distracted, head over heels. I can hardly think about anything but him. Somebody's nodding their head. They're with me. I can't think about anything else but him. Other relationships take less priority in my life, and I'll actually drop things to do things with him. I'm falling for him. I daydream about him. Our hearts are turning toward each other, and it's sweet and all-consuming, and to outsiders, it might even be comical or sickening. I do things like I forget to eat. I forget to call or text people back. I'm so distracted. I am so captivated that this guy is paying attention to me and that our hearts are turning toward each other that I forget about some of the day-to-day things about life. And by the way, I'm still on my best behavior because I've got to make sure that my prince is smitten with me too. Yep, I see some heads nodding. Then there's the comfortable phase. It comes eventually. Maybe you've been dating for a while or you've been married for years and you get comfortable. You might have thoughts like, I'm confident in our relationship. I know him really well, so I don't have to put so much effort in. I take for granted his presence and availability to me. I know how he feels, he knows how I feel. I don't have to keep saying it. I don't have to spend time to invest in that relationship. We know how we feel about each other. And I'm so comfortable that my best behavior is not required. I can skip the hair and makeup. I can pull the jeans out of the dirty laundry to go to brunch. And my body can make very unattractive noises and he doesn't freak out. Maybe you even catch yourself thinking, he knows how I feel. A couple weeks ago when we were talking about what we're gonna do around the house and all the things that I want, you know, my honey-do list, honey, do this for me, I told him how I felt. Well, at least I think I did. Well, I'm not gonna worry about it. I always talk to him when I need something, so I'm not gonna worry about if he knows how I feel or not. That's comfortable, but it's maybe even complacent in that relationship. And then there's intimacy. This is hearts living in close proximity. It's personal and private closeness. It's not the same as sex or physical closeness. It's not sexual intimacy. I'm talking about relational intimacy. This is the assurance that our hearts are knitted together, and I can say what I'm thinking. I can share fears and anxieties, joys, crazy, goofy ideas, and that only draws him closer to me. This is a deep understanding of each other, and it's very personal. It's relational intimacy. It's face-to-face vulnerability with no flaws being covered up and no shame when you look into each other's eyes. That kind of intimacy is not shared with just anyone and everyone. It's saved for your one and only love. There's trust and affection and selflessness and deep intimacy. Maybe I'd say you're even probably still smitten and absorbed with that person, and that helps to carry you into deeper intimacy. Maybe you're at multiple stages in your relationship at once. Maybe it's all on the same day. You're kind of all over the map, but your heart still flips when he walks into the room. My friend told me that after she'd been married over 10 years, that her heart still flipped when her husband walked in the room. Well, my mom suffered from cancer the last few years of her life. She had gone through many years of chemo, and she was puffy from steroids, and she had no hair. And my dad would still turn to her and take her hand and look her in the eye, kiss her cheek, and tell her she was beautiful. He saw his one and only in her. And after she passed away, he really was looking for companionship with a woman, and he would spend times with some of the women that he'd known for years. And he'd always end up telling me, I meet these women and they just don't compare to your mother. That my siblings and I would talk. She was his one and only love. He never had that closeness with a woman after he lost her. Well, all right, what's the deal? Why am I talking about relationships and the stages they go through? This is not a class on finding the perfect boyfriend, the perfect husband, being the perfect wife, or improving your marriage. That's not why we're here. I'm talking about this because we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When Jesus is your Savior, you're in a relationship with him. Maybe that sounds new today. Maybe you haven't heard that before, but I know I've said that about my faith, that I'm in a relationship with Christ, but I want us to go deeper in what that really means. Scripture tells us that the Lord sees us as his beloved, his child, his friend, his sister. Those are all relational words. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the bridegroom and we are his bride. Think about that, the relational words that God calls you personally. Daughter, friend, beloved, bride. Our relationship with Christ, with our Lord, is a relationship that goes through different stages of growth, and we have pitfalls, and that relationship needs nurturing to grow. So how do we show that we value that relationship we have with our Creator God, that we want to go into deeper intimacy with him for our entire lives? Do we nurture that relationship through communicating with him, or do we just take it for granted because we're comfortable? And believe you me, I have been very convicted about that. Are we satisfied to just be acquainted with him, or do we want to be actively engaged and absorbed in getting to know him more? Are we smitten? I know some of you are. is our heart captivated and we're intimately personal with God and we turn to Him. Well, what relationship hasn't suffered pitfalls or setbacks? I think any worthwhile, meaningful relationship knows the pitfalls of one needing to confess and one needing to forgive or seek forgiveness, of feeling hopeless or misunderstood, or maybe even both at the same time, of needing rescue, getting yourself in a real pickle, you're in a mess, and you need help to get out, or running away, pulling away when what you really want is to be brought close, but you pull away. Well, here's a teaser for our Bible study. We're going to look into the prayers of people who are in relationship with the Lord and they suffer these pitfalls and even more. And we're going to see how they pray through them, how they see the Lord, and how they encounter Him and go into deeper relationship with Him. There's many things that I don't know, but I know women, and I know we desire intimacy and faithfulness in relationships. So how do we seek a deeper intimacy with the Lord that satisfies that longing in our hearts? Do our hearts turn to Him like they do to those relationships that we have with people in our lives? When I was in college, it was kind of a thing to hang out in groups, guys and girls together, spending time developing friendships, healthy friendships, but it was inevitable that someone would catch your attention and you'd start spending some more one-on-one time with the guy. And my friends and I would talk about needing to have a DTR, a define the relationship talk with that guy. Like, I know we're hanging out as friends, but I've got some feelings that are developing. Is that happening for you too? It takes courage to have that conversation, by the way. But really knowing, are we on the same page here? What's going on? What is this relationship really leading to? Well, I have a question for you. Will you put some thought into having a DTR, a define the relationship talk with the Lord? Will you make some quiet space to talk with the Lord about where you are with Him in your relationship? Are you acquainted with Him? He's just one of a crowd, a God that you've heard of but you don't know? Does He have your attention? Are you actively engaged in getting to know Him? You're at a Bible study. This is a great place to start to get to know Him more through His Word and through doing life with each other. Maybe you're head over heels smitten. You know that the Lord knows the ugliness and the sin of your heart, and He has completely forgiven you, and you are just smitten with Him for having done that for you. Maybe you're comfortable or complacent. You're not investing, but you're taking for granted that the Lord knows how you feel about Him. You don't really have to say it. You want to talk about your honey-do list and what you need instead of expressing adoration and praise. Maybe you've made Him your one and only. Jesus is called the one and only Son of God in the book of John, sent to earth as a man to be the one that became our substitute. He took the penalty for our sin and brokenness when He died on the cross. He's my substitute. When He became a willing sacrifice, He traded my life for His. He died on the cross for me as my substitute. And now He gives my life purpose, and He's given me the gift of eternal life with Him. He's my Savior. Well, when you make Jesus your one and only, you have that personal relationship with Him. He's not just one amongst a crowd anymore, not a God that you keep around for later, but He's the one God that you want to spend your life getting to know through sharing your heart with Him because of the truth of who He is and what He's done for you. Have you made the Lord your one and only? Look at the first truth there on your outline. Having a DTR talk, having a define the relationship talk with the Lord is the start of my heart going into deeper relationship and intimacy with Him. Having a DTR, talk with the Lord, is the start of my heart going into deeper relationship with Him. So when will you put some thought and time into having a DTR with the Lord, an honest talk with Him? There's no judgment for where you are. Like I said, you might be in multiple places with Him right now. But will you consider and reflect on where you are and have that honest, private talk with Him? That's prayer. God's conversation with the Lord. And we are here to learn about prayer. So I'd like to transition to have a little introductory discussion on what prayer is and what it isn't. I think there is so much, there's so many facets to the gem of prayer. We're going to work on that for the next 8 months together as we study. So just think of this as an introduction. Prayer is talking with God. It's conversation. It's encountering Him, and it's listening to Him. Let's look at prayer and conversations with God in the context of relationship. Wouldn't you agree that all relationships we have need communication? That's what they need to grow. I know if you're here and if you're listening, you've been in relationships where communications were not clear, they were not healthy, or they were non-existent, and your relationship was impacted. So what is prayer in the context of a relationship with the one true God? Well, I have five words that start with I to help us remember some of the characteristics about prayer. The first one is prayer is uninhibited, uninhibited and authentic. It's not following a formula of what I'm supposed to say or what I'm supposed to do or what I should say. It's uninhibited when it's in the context of a trusting relationship with God. It's that face-to-face intimacy, knitted hearts, knowing that I can say anything and I'm not going to scare off my beloved. That's what an uninhibited conversation is. It's not following a formula. It's not thinking, if I say this or I do this, I get that. But it's being unhesitating and authentic in communicating with Him. Amen. And we're going to study prayers of in the Bible of Hannah and Nehemiah and David's prayer songs, the Psalms, that are very uninhibited. We're going to look at Miriam and Moses and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and their joyful celebration songs, all of those uninhibited encounters with the Lord. Secondly, prayer is not forced, but it is intentional. Prayer is intentional. I have a sweet example of this. When my mom and dad were reaching their 40th wedding anniversary, I asked my mom, how did you know that dad was the one for you? It's a good question, right? She said to me, nothing was ever forced with him. We had a natural relationship, and he never let me down. I don't know if I ever heard a woman say that before, but she said that about my dad. Well, my dad was intentional. He'd asked her out. He'd spent time with her. He was very intentional in wanting to woo her and captivate her heart. And he was intentional with his actions to prove himself faithful to her. Isn't that beautiful? He wanted to capture her heart, and he had every intention of doing that. And I think if we don't want to force being prayerful, but we need to make an intention in our heart that we're going to set aside time to do that, to pursue this relationship that we have with the Lord. And here's another teaser. We're going to study some people who lived intentionally a life of prayer. Solomon intentionally turned to the Lord and dedicated all of his work to him. Daniel prayed intentionally for the Lord to rescue them from their exile. And we're going to look at two lives lived intentionally devoted to prayer, Simeon and Anna. Prayer is intentional, not forced. Third, prayer is investing my time. It's not about what I give up. It isn't me giving up my time, but it's investing my time. And please understand, I don't want anybody to go on a guilt trip today. This is not to make you feel guilty, not in the least. I'm asking you to look differently at prayer. Think about it differently than maybe you have before. Consider how you invest your time, and does that reflect the relationships that are a priority to you? How does your investment in the relationship with the Lord reflect that intimacy that you seek with Him? So it's not about spending more time in prayer out of guilt, but out of a heart that wants to invest in the relationship and to go deeper. It's an I get to mindset. I get to invest in a relationship with my Lord and spend time with Him, to turn to Him. And oh, by the way, we're going to study some prayers that invest in going deeper in relationship and understanding God. We're going to study some precious prayers of Jesus, and we'll see this. Prayer is what I get to do. It's an investment. Fourth, prayer is invited. I love this one. Prayer is invited. Prayer is wanted. The Lord wants to hear your heart, to capture your heart. He wants you to turn to Him. Have you ever thought, God is sovereign and He doesn't change? So why do I even bother to pray? He's not going to change because a little old me and my little old life, He's got an entire universe to run. He's got world hunger, humanitarian crises, wars to solve. So what is it going to make if I pray, little old me is here praying about my little old life? That's false thinking. In reality, Scripture tells us that the Lord invites our prayers. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 30, says, "The Lord longs to be gracious for you. He waits to show you His mercy and His compassion." Or maybe we go too far in thinking of our relationship with God in human terms. We talked about that a little bit at our table. Am I too daring as I approach Him? But maybe we think a little bit too much like maybe some of the difficult relationships that we're in. You might have some of those relationships in your life now where you're in relationship with someone and they don't want to know what you have to say. You've gone there, you've poured out your heart, and nothing has changed. They ignored you. Your heart was ignored. But God is not human. He is our compassionate, forgiving, loving God, and prayer is not ignored. It's invited. Jesus says to us in the book of Matthew, "Come to me. Your burden is heavy. What you're carrying, that load of your sin and your trouble is heavy, but my burden is light, and I'm going to trade with you." He says, "Come to me." And I just read in Psalm 138, "When I called the Lord, called on you, Lord, you answered me. The strength of my soul you increased." He invites us to call on Him. Your words, your heartaches, your joys, they're all heard. The Lord listens. God doesn't change, His character doesn't change, but His actions do change, and He does listen. And I'm really excited to tell you, in the next few weeks, we're going to study prayers where we can see that God heard Job and Moses and Hannah and Esther. He heard and He acted on their behalf. He listened to them, and He listens to us. Our prayers are invited. And fifth, prayer is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. It's an interchange. Prayer is not a monologue. It's a dialogue, an interchange. It is about exchanging information and thoughts. It's about sharing hearts. Do you think about that, about how listening to the Lord and listening to your beloved's voice above other voices, recognizing that is part of prayer? Do you know His voice from other voices? Do you give time and space in your day or your week to listen quietly for the Lord's voice? This is convicting to me. Again, this is not a guilt trip. This is an honest, private assessment between you and the Lord in the context of your relationship with Him. Prayer is not a monologue. It's not rattling off everything that I want to say, everything that I need, my honey-do list, and then walking away. That is not what the gift of prayer is. It's a two-way interchange. And we're going to see this too. The prayers that we're going to study in the Bible, prayers of Moses and Samuel and others, we're going to see that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is clearly speaking with them, and they're hearing and following and understanding. There's a dialogue happening there. Prayer is an interchange. Now, to recap the five I's, I'm going to give you a little illustration, a fun illustration from my own life. Let's say that I meet a guy, and he's single, he's good looking, and he has got my attention. Remember, I told you I'm single, so this is a healthy thing. If he calls me and he says, "I'd really like to get to know you, I want to spend some time with you," what do you think I'm going to say? Am I going to find a formal formula to calculate what I should say or what's best to say? Or am I going to say uninhibitedly, "Yes, I would love to do that"? When he asks me out, am I going to say, "I guess I'll force myself to do that. I'll have some discipline and I'll find some time for you"? Or, "I feel really guilty that you went out of your way to ask me, so okay." No, I will actually intentionally make time for him. And trust me, I would make time if this happened. When he asks me out, am I going to tell him that I'm giving everything I give up to spend time with him? would I say something like, you know, I have a really busy weekend. I'm supposed to spend time with my girlfriends. I'm supposed to go to the movies. I have to go to farmer's market. I have to do my weekly cooking. And I have to wash my hair. And that takes a lot of time. But I will give all of that up for you. Would I say that? Of course not. I would say, I'm in. Let's do this. Let's get to know each other. And when he invites me for this personal time with him, would I ignore him? Would I take over the conversation and have a monologue and tell him everything about me and what I expect and what I need and what I believe and I? Would I do that? Of course not. I would not do that. I would want to have a dialogue with him. I would want my heart to take some risk to get to know him and for him to get to know me. Now, that's kind of a fun illustration, but there's truth in that, I think, in how we approach praying with the Lord and spending time with the Lord. I think we can get in our box and we can think prayer is too hard, or that we have to force ourselves to do it, or we have to have a lot of discipline to do it, and it's a duty. That's the opposite of having uninhibited conversations with the Lord from my heart. Maybe sometimes it's a one-way checklist, and I will confess to this, that it's a checklist of mine, not a back-and-forth communication with the Lord. And don't we sometimes approach prayer as a duty, instead of something that we would not miss? I think it's kind of daring to think of prayer as my heart going deeper with the Lord in an uninhibited, intentionally investing in an interchange that's invited by the Lord. This is the second truth for us today. Prayer is my heart daring to go deeper, not a duty. Prayer is my heart daring to go deeper, not a duty. Maybe it's daring because you've never opened up your heart completely to anyone, let alone the Lord, and that is scary. Maybe there's areas that you've held back and you're not sure if you're ready to open them up. Maybe it's daring because you just don't get why we pray and you don't know how to know that the Lord heard you or how to listen for his voice. Maybe it feels daring because you're just deciding now today to make Jesus your one and only and you have no idea what comes next after that. Maybe it feels daring because you've been walking with the Lord for a long time and you love to pray and you're just not sure what more there is to have in that relationship. It is daring, but we don't do this alone. The Lord gives us the Holy Spirit to be our 24/7 counsel and our help. This isn't something that I can do for you or you can do for me. Your leader, as much as she loves you, cannot do this for you. So will you dare to go deeper with the Lord from wherever you are today in your relationship with him? Well, I hope that's helped you think about prayer a little bit differently. And I have a twofold challenge for all of us, me included. The first part of this is, decide on a time to quietly assess your relationship with the Lord. Have that, define the relationship conversation with him. His invitation is there for us to have that conversation, that start of deeper intimacy with him. So pick a time and do it. And then secondly, how will you open your heart and dare to go deeper with him in your conversations with him, maybe in your worship, your celebrations, sharing anxieties and fears, joys, sharing all of your heart? Will you decide to start this Bible study with a commitment to dare to go deeper with him? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that all of us here are honest before you and let go of those areas that we might have held back in our heart to go deeper with you. And I pray that I'm honest, that we all are, about our comfortable and complacent hearts, about only being acquainted and not being absorbed with who you are. May we determine to dare to go deeper with you as we study these prayers you've given us in Scripture. Amen.